Rahu's head, however, being touched by the nectar, became immortal. Thus Lord Brahma accepted Rahu's head as one of the planets. Since Rahu is an eternal enemy of the moon and the sun, he always tries to attack them on the nights of the full moon and the dark moon. The short purport. Since Rahu has become immortal, Lord Brahma accepted him as one of the grihas, or planets, like the moon and the sun. Rahu, however, being an eternal enemy of the moon and the sun, attacks them periodically during the nights of the full moon and dark moon. Text 27. Pita praya matre deva bhagavan loko bhavana parasyatam asurandritranam svam rupam grehi hari. The Supreme Personal Godhead is the best friend and well-wisher of the three worlds. Thus, when the demigods had almost finished drinking the nectar, the Lord, in the presence of all the demons, disclosed his original form. Now, text 28. So, because it's not on the board, I won't ask to repeat it. So I'll go straight into the translation and the purport. Translation: the place, the time, the cause, and the purpose, and the activity are the and the ambition were all the same for both the demigods and the demons. But the demigods achieved one result and the demons another. Because the demigods are always under the shelter of the Lord's lotus feet, they could very easily drink the nectar and get its result. Demons, however, not having sought shelter at the lotus feet of the Lord, were unable to achieve the result they desired. Purport: by his divine grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Shilpupad. In the Bhagavad Gita 4.11, it is said, Yayatamam pravajante tvam tvatva pravajanti ham. The Supreme Personal Godhead is the Supreme Judge, who awards or punishes different persons according to their surrender unto his lotus feet. Therefore, it can actually be seen that although karmis and bhaktas may work in the same place, at the same time, with the same energy, and with the same ambition, they achieve different results. The karmis transmigrate through different bodies in the cycle of birth and death, sometimes going upwards and sometimes downward, thus suffering the results of their actions in the karma chakra, the cycle of birth and death. The devotees, however, because of their fully surrendering at the lotus feet of the Lord, are never baffled in their attempts, although externally they work almost like the karmis. The devotees go back home, back to Godhead, and achieve success in every effort. The demons have faith in their own endeavors. But although they work very hard, day and night, they cannot get any more than their destiny. The devotees, however, can surpass the reactions of karma and achieve wonderful results, even without effort. It is said, Paryena Parayachate, one's success or defeat in inactivity is understood by its result. There are many karmis in the dress of devotees, but the Supreme Personal Godhead can detect their purpose. The karmis want to use the property of the Lord for their own selfish sense gratification, but the devotee endeavors to use the Lord's property for God's service. Therefore, devotee is always distinct from the karmis, although karmis may dress like devotees, as confirmed in the Bhagavad Gita 3.9. Yagyat yagyatahat ham karmano yat lokoyam karma bandana. One who works for Lord Vishnu is free from this material world, and after giving up his body, goes back home, back to Godhead. A karmi, however, although externally working like a devotee, is entangled in his non-devotional activity and thus suffers the tribulations of the material existence. Thus, from the results achieved by the karmis and devotees, one can understand the presence of the Supreme Personal Godhead, who acts differently for the karmis and jnanis than for the devotees. The author of Sri Chaitanya Charita therefore says, Krishna Bhakta Niskama Atvata Santa Bhukti Mukti Suri Kami Salaktata Asanta. Karmis who desire sense gratification, jnanis who aspire for liberation from merging into the Supreme, and the yogis who seek material success and mystic power are all restless, and ultimately they are baffled. But the devotee who does not expect any personal benefit and whose only ambition is to spread the glories of the Supreme Personal and Godhead is blessed with the auspicious results, bhakti yoga, without hard labor. On again and undasya 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 again. So, in the beginning of this purport, Prabhupada is quoting from Bhagavad Gita 4.11. It's a well-known verse. And, of course, in English it says, those who surrender according to one surrender, that I reward them accordingly. And in the purport to that, it says that in that purport, it says one who's fully surrendered. Now, so this is the main fit for me stands out is this word surrender. So I'll speak on this for some time and see what happens. So, now we know that Bhagavan Thakur he wrote a series of songs called Sagranagati, which means surrender. So there's six categories of surrender. And the two, a devotee knows Krishna as his maintainer and protector. And the other four, they actually automatically follow. So this is actually what surrender means. Surrender means that one is fully knows Krishna is their maintainer and their protector. No one else. Because in old age, who can protect you? Who can protect you from the dangers of the material world? And Krishna will maintain you. He promises in the Bhagavad Gita that my devotee will never perish. I maintain what they have and give them what they lack. So we have to accept what Krishna says in the Bhagavad Gita. If we don't have faith in what Krishna says in Bhagavad Gita, then what's the point of us being here? And we should not rely on any material situation for our maintenance or protection, because that can change. Just a click of fingers, anything can change. As in the when it was the first Wall Street crash in the 30s or something it was, multi-millionaires were paupers in a few seconds because Wall Street crashed and all their stocks and shares worth millions and millions of dollars were vanished, and they were just living in their luxury apartments, but they had no money. So, and many were committing suicide afterwards because they couldn't face the lies of poverty again. So we see that next. So if our surrender is not full or fully surrendered soul, because then what is it? What is our surrender? Our surrender is either partial, conditional, or artificial. So last night I was thinking of examples of these three categories of surrender. And for the partial surrender, I was thinking of Draupadi came to my mind. That when Draupadi was being dragged into the assembly of the Kauravas and being disrobed, and they tried to disrobe her, and she was calling out the name of Krishna. Krishna, Krishna, save me. But she was holding on to her sari with one hand and one hand up in the air, calling for Krishna. But Krishna did not respond. He did not respond immediately. It's only when Draupadi fully let go of the external surroundings, and she let go of her sari, then Krishna provided a sari that never ran out. So when Draupadi surrendered, when she let go, then Krishna fully he maintained her and he protected her from any harm. And then the conditional side is the queens of Dwarka in the Jara Leela of Krishna getting the fever. So the Narada Muni went to Dwarka and said, Krishna's got a fever. Krishna says, what is the medicine? He said, oh, the dust of my devotees. So Narada says, where shall I go? He said, You go to the residence of Dwarka and go to the queens and see what you get from them. Narada Muni went and said, oh, Krishna's got a fever. What's the medicine? There's your dust from your feet. He said, no. Do you think we're stupid? If we give dust from lotus feet, we'll go to hell. No, you can't get. So then Krishna he knows everything. So then Narada Muni went back, as we know. And then he said, so Krishna said, so any luck? He said, no. He said, I know what was going to happen. So Narada said, well, but where can I get this dust from? He said, you go to Vrindavan and you speak to all the gopis headed by Radharani, Srimati Radharani. So then we know Narada Muni went back to Vrindavan, and the gopis, of course, they knew Narada Muni and said, oh, he's been traveling around the universe. He must have gone and seen Krishna. We can ask how he is. He said, oh, Narada Muniji, obeisances. Have you seen our Krishna? Our Vajranandan. Said, no, he's got a fever, very high fever. Oh, what's the medicine? He said, it's only one medicine. What's this? What's that? He said, get the dust from the feet of the Vaishnavas, the devotees. Oh, is that all? And then, is that all we will give you? He said, no, he said, are you You're not afraid to go to hell? No. We're not afraid to go to hell. Because, you know, we want to serve our beloved. And if we even have to go to hell, it'd be worth it. So then, according to the Acharyas, in one of their literatures, that they actually had a competition, and they collected so many bags of the dust. And they were having a competition. Is one bag here? I got two bags. I got three bags. I got five bags, and so on. So Narada Muni, he went back with so many bags of dust from the devotees in Vrindavan. And then, of course, we know the Krishna then was smeared with a body, his body with the dust. Now, artificially, I couldn't personally think of anyone in front of Bhagavatam. The only person I can think of was myself. And no, because we can say many things. From the lips, we can say many things. Yes, Guru Maharaj, I want to serve you. Prabhupada, I want to serve the Prabhupada's mission. I want this, I want that. Oh, yes, from the lips. But from the heart, no. It's still the same. We still want to overlord it over material. We want to be still the controller. We still want to be the... Do many things that we shouldn't be doing. So we can say from the lips many things, but the heart says different. Now it says here. Now surrender also is surrendered soul. As I said earlier, knows Krishna as the maintainer and protector. And there are many examples in the Bhagavatam. There's Jad Bharat, who was it's going to be offered to Kali, Agama Kali, and he didn't say anything. He was about to be killed as an offering, but when the goddess saw, there's a pure devotee here. No harm should come to him. So she came out and she killed the demons. Now it says here also in the bhaktas or devotees. Now according to the according to the one book by Bhagavad Thakur, Jiva Dharma, which Prabhupada said everyone should read, because all the actual philosophy is in one book. And of course, Prabhupada takes from here and distributes it in all his books, in his books. So a devotee, according to the strict meaning of devotee, means he's a pure devotee or chanting Sudanam. Now, in Jiva Dharma, Bhakti Thakur, he writes that anyone who has a taste, the taste for pure devotional activities, he is chanting Sudanam. So, but generally devotees are on either when they're chanting, they're either chanting Namaparad or Namabhas. And also then Bhakti Thakur, he also quotes, he says that those who chanting Nama Bas or Vaishnava Bas. That means, I take everybody knows what a Bas means. Anybody who doesn't? Yeah, resemblance, yeah. So then we, if we're Vaishnava Bas also, or Nama Bas, we're actually semblance of chanting. Even though there's no offences, it's on the clearing stage. But it is a very, very dangerous level to be at. Because one can fall down very easily again to Nama Aparad again from that platform. So we should hope that by the mercy of the Acharyas and by the mercy of Lord Nityananda, because Lord Nityananda, he's very merciful, and he's the Adiguru, the original spiritual master. And by taking shelter of Lord Nityananda, we can achieve perfection. There's so many songs by Narottam Das Thakur that actually, he's actually instructing us that we should, he says that Nityananda is my, I take shelter at his lotus feet, because without him I can do nothing. And some few weeks ago I had to go and get the keys for the Vajai room from the deity kitchen for the 4 o'clock aarti. And as I walked through the door, I think Mother Klangina was there listening to a Prabhupada lecture. And so as soon as I opened the door, I just heard one sentence. And Prabhupada sort of said, he said, without the mercy of Nittai, one cannot even approach Radha and Krishna. And so then I thought, that's, yes, Prabhupada said it, it has to be true, and the Acharyas say it as well. So now, of course, being devotees, Vaishnavas, we have to follow the Vaishnava Dharma. And of course, devotees, they surrender to Krishna. Now, in the Bhagavad Gita again, it says that it is the most confidential instruction. And the Bhagavad Gita, of course, in the Bhagavad Gita 1865 and 1866 are the most confidential instructions of the Bhagavad Gita. Mamamo Bhakto Marmanajas Guru, and of course Sarva Dharma Vidvaja. Now in that verse, in 18, where Krishna says that if you surrender unto me, by giving up all dharma, I will protect you, so do not fear. So, in that word, sarambhidraja, that means, now if you read the, in the translation, word for word, become only, saram for surrender, braja go. So the word for surrender is to go to Braj. That means Vrindavan. Why? Because we have to surrender to Lord Titania and to Gornitai, because it says in the nectar of instruction, one must take shelter of an intimate intimate resident of Vrindavan. And who is the most intimate resident of Vrindavan? Srimati Radharani. And Mahaprabhu, he came in the mood of Srimati Radharani and the complexion of Radharani as well. Now, there's a reason for we can understand the mood of Srimati Radharani. The mood was, Krishna came to find out why is the love of the gopis and how to get it and taste it. But does anybody know why the mood, the colour? Sorry? Yes, the Shingativa's got it. It means, now there's the highest form of bhav is Mahabhav. And there's four categories. I think Govinda mentioned in one of his classes, Govinda Prabhu mentioned it the other day, some weeks back. And there's four categories of Mahabhav, and the last one, is the highest, and that only belongs to Srimati Radharani. And she's in golden complexion. So this is why Mahaprabhu came in the colour and the mood of Srimati Radharani to give love of Godhead freely. And then, now Braj means also in Vrindavan, now there's no, in the now in the Ananta Samhita, which is at the end of the Navadvipa Mahatma, Lord Shiva is describing to Parvati who actually created Navadvipa Dham and is actually created by Srimati Radharani. So therefore, Lord Shiva says, anyone who sees any difference between Mayapur Dham and Vrindavan Dham, they will go to hell. And I will fire my trident them eternally. So it also says, because Mayapur Dham is the what we call the hidden Vrindavan or Gupta Vrindavan, the secret Vrindavan, because there's no difference between in Tattva, there's no difference between Krishna and Gaura. Krishna is Gaura and Gaura is Krishna. Because now there is one difference. The only difference is that in Vrindavan there's two entities, Radha and Krishna. But in Navadvipa Dham, the two become one. This is the only difference. And it says here, Vrindavani ache yata vana upavana shri krishna liara sakyata se kara gunyana Navadvipa se sakyala ache stane stane Gora Rupe Krishna Lila Prakrata Karane. All the forests and groves of Krishna Lila in Vrindavan are present in Navadvipa. They manifest in the pastimes of Krishna in the form of Gauranga. So the word prakrita means manifest. And of course the word prakrita means unmanifest. So these places, if we see them now, Mayapur Dham is Vrindavan. And I'd like to read a little section how this describes, yeah, this is what, if we had the real vision of what Mayapur Dham actually looks like, if we could actually see, because we're not the seer. The only person who's the seer is that, is those personalities on the altar there. We're the seen. We're not the doer. They're the doer. We're the enjoyed. They're the enjoyers, and we're the enjoyed. We're not the seer. We are the seen. They're seeing us. Darshan means, actually, when we come before Radha Kogan Sitaram Nakshana Mankoni Tai, they're seeing us. We cannot see. All right, we're seeing some nice decorated deities here, but we cannot see them in their full glory. So I'll read a little bit from half, it's only half a page. One night after, 1 hour after past midnight, Sannyasi Thakur was in deep meditation, chanting Harinam. All of a sudden, he walked out of his bhajan kotir into the silky night and slowly climbed to the top of the hill at the edge of Goldroom Woods. He peered south-northward at the zenith. The full moon waved a magic wand, and surrounding landscape and nearby Navadweep glowed beautifully in silver glory. Mayapur, nestling cozily in this distance, caught his attention. All at once, Sannyasi Thakur exulted and exclaimed in wonder, "Behold, now I see revealed the wondrous, blissful Dham, large temples and archways, all constructed with precious gems, glittered magnificently, setting aglow the shores and peacefully flowing waters of the Janava Ganga. In many quarters, the congregational chanting of Harinam swells resoundingly, heaving upwards and engulfing the sky, satin sky. Like Sri Narada, thousands of devotees are playing upon Venus and swirling around in stately dance. On one side is the chief of the Devas, Sri Mahadev, white as a lily, playing his Damaru drum and dancing and singing, 'My dear Bishambhar, be merciful to me,' and then falls to the ground in ecstasy." So this is what Bhagavan Thakur, he writes. Now, also, it's described that in the Navadvipavataranga, that the island of Goldrumadweep is, it says there, Bhagavan Thakur, he writes, he says there, if one goes to Goldrumadweep, and if one is very fortunate, he can hear the Devatas doing kirtan there at night. And this is the reason is because we know that one of the wonderful places in Goldrumadweep is Nisshingapalli. But another name for that is Devapalli. As we know, if you can swim across or go to the other side of the lake there, that's where the Devatas built their houses when Lord Nisshingadev there went to wash his hands. So if one is fortunate, one will hear all the Devas performing kirtan at night time there. And one time doing that service in the Parakram service in Mayapur, I would go often there and speak to some of the local people who I made friends with there. They were disciples of Jabhyataka Maharaj. And he says, they're saying yes. He says, a few times we've heard the kirtan, a few times. but it's very rare. And they said, how do they describe it? He said, at midnight, you know, it's peaceful and quiet, and then all you suddenly you just hear is that you hear kirtan, you hear madangas, and you hear cartels all around that area. And you go there and you see nothing. There's no one playing madangas there. There's no one playing cartels. All there is just dogs sleeping and humans sleep, some people sleeping in the shops outside. But there's no one there. But we can hear it. So Mayapur Dham is, and Vrindavan Dham is non-different. So when we surrender, as it says in that translation, go to Vrindavan, that means also that all of us shouldn't hear, just go to Vrindavan now. But here is Vrindavan. Where Radha Gopinda is Vrindavan. Where Gaunitai is there, that is Navadvip Dham. And where Sitaram Lakshmanan is, that is Ayodhya. So we are in these holy places because the Murti form is, if they're here, that means because these Murtis, they come from the spiritual world. They actually descend from the spiritual world. They won't. They may have been carved at one place where they carved the deities, but they actually descended in this form. So we can enter Vrindavan, Mayapur, and Ayodhya from here, in this place. But our consciousness is not so. So elevated. I'm talking about myself, of course, first. To actually recognize this, and this, and so our consciousness has to be. Vrindavan consciousness, Mayapur consciousness, while we're here. Like, what's his name? Lila Bashotam's wife, Savitri. When she was dying of cancer, and her spiritual master, Nabati Chumaraj, went to see her in Wembley at the time. They were living in Wembley. Time, Ealing Road or something like that. And Savitri Mataji asked Bhakti Chumaraj, where shall I go to Vrindavan? Shall I go to Mayapur to die? And Bhakti Chumaraj, he said, Vrindavan is here, Mayapur is here, because Krishna is here. So it's the consciousness that counts. So we have to be Krishna conscious. Krishna conscious means, I know Prabhupada gave many definitions of Krishna consciousness. But one I heard some years back, and again from one Prabhupada lecture, Prabhupada said, Krishna consciousness means on this lecture, he said, it is to simply love God. This is Krishna consciousness. Simply love God with no material motives or benefits. Just love him for who he is. And Prabhupada said, he may be the Supreme Personality Godhead, but according to one's relationship, one should just love him. And Vaishnava, where is it? Of course, I just finished this spot, this bit here. Just read Rikempa and Jiva Dharma, talking about Vaishnav Dharma, because we're Vaishnavas, and Vaishnav Dharma, what Vaishnav Dharma actually means. So, yeah, basically, I can't find it, but basically the question was asked by one disciple of Vaishnav Das, who was actually Sannyasi Thakur. He asked the question, what's the difference? We said, he asked the question, what is Vaishnav Dharma? And Sannyasi Thakur, Vaishnav Das, Babaji Maharaj, he says, there's two categories of Vaishnav Dharma. One is Sudha Vaishnav Dharma, and one is Vidha Vaishnav Dharma. The first one is single, is a single principle, and is second to none. The second one, Vidhi Vaishnav Dharma, is actually the distorted Vaishnav Dharma. And then he asked the question. Then Lihar Maharshi asked, what's the difference? He said, the Sudha Vaishnav Dharma is pure and without taint or anything. But the Vidha Vaishnav Dharma is generally the smarter brahmanas worship the Lord in this way. They still recognize Vishnu as the Supreme Person and Godhead, but only worship him in the mood of rituals and scriptures only, without realizing the relationship in Dasya, Sakya, Vasalya, and Madhurya. So this is the difference between Vaishnav, Sudha Vaishnav Dharma and Vidhasa Dharma. So we have to obviously come to Sudha Vaishnav Dharma, and then Krishna, then we can we might get the adhikar to become qualified to go home back to Godhead, as Prabhupada says in the purport. So I'll finish there. Any questions or comments or corrections?